Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, that I expressed to them I was mad. I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday, August 7th, 2017. So glad you've allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon. The start of the week is here. It feels like the weekend just absolutely flew by, all right? We plan on starting your week off with a bang here on the show. On today's Current Sports, we will recap the weekend that was in the sporting world, and we will talk about a young female fighter by the name of Clarissa Shields, born and bred in Flint, Michigan, who turned a lot of heads on Friday night downtown Detroit on primetime television. Clarissa Shields, a name that many boxing aficionados know due to the fact that Clarissa Shields actually is the only boxer, male or female, to win back-to-back gold medals. Well, she is now a championship professional boxer. We'll talk about what this weekend has meant now to the career of Clarissa Shields. You don't want to miss that. Also, the start of high school football right around the corner. Last night is dubbed High School Football Madness, as at midnight, today was the official day that high school football teams across the great state of Michigan were finally allowed to get out on the gridiron and practice as the weeks wind down to the start of football. We'll talk about high school football madness. We will also invite to the show, for the first time, Jeff Kimmerly, editor of the Michigan High School Athletic Association's The Second Half, which is a publication that goes beyond the X's and O's, like we do here at Current Sports, right? To tell human interest stories centered on high school athletes. It's a great publication. Jeff also has a background when it comes to reporting, seeing as though he was a sports reporter for the Lansing State Journal. Jeff will join us around the 1:30 mark. And then on the back end of the show, we'll talk about a certain University of Michigan football player who has been sentenced to probation due to a run-in with the law, and we will have weekend winners for you. That and so much more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also join us via social media right now at facebook.com/currentsports. If you're joining us via the live stream, you notice that the studio looks a bit different today, seeing as though we are out of the WKAR AM studio, a throwback show, if you will, seeing as though this is the very studio that the man before me by the name of Earl Robinson here at WKAR used to broadcast his sports talk show, as our Studio S is occupied for the afternoon. I love doing the show out of this studio because there's so many history. If these walls could talk, there's so much history in this room. Very cool stuff. And you can also join us via Twitter. Tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. If you leave us a comment, leave us a tweet, or call in, you can be heard live here on our airwaves. But hey, you know what's next. You know how we start this party. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right. I want to start by, again, just letting you know that today is the official day that high school football teams across the great state of Michigan can get out on the gridiron and practice. High school football madness is underway. I actually went on my Twitter account last night, a little bit after midnight, and saw many schools across the mid-Michigan area celebrating the start of high school football. And I must say, Okemos High School always does it big. Big ups to the Chiefs, as Okemos High School Athletic Director Ira Childress sent out a lot of pictures of folks that were waiting in line to root on the team as they held, I believe it was a scrimmage late last night. Very cool stuff, though. Okemos always doing it big, and many schools across this great state of Michigan always doing it big. We will have more on the start of high school football in just a moment. And again, we will welcome to the show, keep it locked right here, because Jeff Kimmerly of the Michigan High School Athletic Association will join me live here on the airwaves to talk about that very topic, amongst so much more. All right, and MSU Football Media Day is today. Head coach Mark D'Antonio's press conference begins at 2 p.m. at Spartan Stadium. At 2:30, there will be roundtable interviews with chosen defensive players and defensive coaches. At 4:30, there will be a roundtable interview with chosen offensive players and coaches as well. Now, some of the defensive players chosen to speak include Andrew Dow, Byron Bulla, Shane Jones, Chris Fry, and Kari Willis. When it comes to the offensive end of the ball, Brian Allen, Felton Davis, Gerald Holmes, Madre London, Brian Lewerke, LJ Scott, among others. You want to make sure that you are glued to your smartphone or your laptop, and make sure that you have Facebook.com/currentsports pulled up later on this evening, as we will deliver you a report from Michigan State Football Media Day. You don't want to miss it, all right? University of Michigan wide receiver Grant Perry left a Lansing courtroom on Friday with a sentence of 12 months probation and 60 hours of community service due to an incident that occurred outside an East Lansing bar last fall. Now, Perry, who stood before Judge Joyce Dragonchuk in Ingham County Circuit Court, pled guilty to one felony count of resisting a police officer and one misdemeanor count of assault and battery earlier this summer. And according to the plea deal, Perry had two charges of fourth-degree criminal sexual conduct removed from his record. Dragonchuk agreed to sentence Perry under the Holmes Youthful Trainee Act, meaning his convictions will be set aside until the completion of his probation. Now, if he is compliant with all terms of that probation, the convictions will be vacated. The entire case actually dates back to an incident on October 15th of last year in East Lansing, as Perry was accused of grabbing a woman in a line outside of a bar, then was accused of resisting arrest later that night. On Saturday, the Michigan Wolverines landed one of the most prized recruits from the 2019 class when defensive end Chris Hinton announced he committed to the team via Twitter. Hinton is the best strong side defensive end in the country and the number three overall player in 2019, according to Scout.com. Now, should Hinton sign his national letter of intent with the Wolverines, it will also be the third straight year that a defensive lineman ranked in the top two nationally at his position has joined the Wolverines. Defensive tackle Rashawn Gary was the number one overall player in 2016, while Aubrey Solomon is the second-rated defensive tackle and 11th overall back in, for 2017. All right, the Detroit Tigers split their series against the Baltimore Orioles on the road last night with the Tigers' worst loss to the Orioles, as they lost 12-3. The night before, they lost yet again, 5-2. But the Tigers gave hope of winning the series, I should say, against the Orioles, as they won the first two games 7-5 and 5-2. Justin Upton homered and drove in two runs as the Tigers shook off two rain delays and a triple play in that 7-5 dub over the Orioles on Thursday night. Justin Upton hit a grand slam in the eighth inning to back a strong pitching performance by Justin Verlander, and the surprising Detroit Tigers topped the Orioles 5-2 on that Friday. And the Orioles, though, taking those two games over the weekend. So, again, a series split. The Tigers will open up their series against the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight at 7.05 p.m. on the road. Jose Iglesias, unfortunate news here. Jose Iglesias of the Detroit Tigers was placed on the bereavement list on Sunday. One of Iglesias' family members passed away, according to a Detroit Tigers spokesperson. The team was unable to get a reinforcement from the from AAA Toledo in time for Sunday afternoon's game against the Baltimore Orioles, but the Tigers plan on adding a player before tonight's series opener against the Pirates. A player can be on the bereavement list for a minimum of 3 days and a maximum of 7 days. Yamir Calendario, after just 5 games with the AAA Toledo, he will be recalled on Monday to join the team for a 2-game series against the Pirates. The Tigers announced that after that loss to the Orioles yesterday. His stint with the team is expected to end once Iglesias returns. So, of course, Calendario was one of the pickups when it came to during the trade deadline, when it came to gaining a prospect out of that deal. So we'll see how Calendario does now that he will be called up. Detroit City FC couldn't soldier on without its MVP forward, Tyrone Mondi, and lost in penalty kicks 4-2 in the semifinals over the weekend. Third-seeded Midland Odessa FC escaped with a 1-0 win over number 2 LaRouge in the National Premier Soccer League National Semifinal also on Saturday in Hamtramck. Midland Odessa advanced to the National Championship, which will take place on Saturday at a site not yet announced. It'll face the top-seeded Elm City Express, who beat number 4 CD Iloquilios USA 2-0. On Friday night, Clarissa Shields topped German Nikki Adler by technical knockout at the 134 mark of the fifth round to claim the World Boxing Council and vacant International Boxing Federation super middleweight titles at MGM Grand downtown Detroit. The two-time Olympic gold medalist and Flint native did so as the main event of the Showbox Next Generation series, only the second time women have headlined a nationally televised fight on Showtime. The first time also involved Shields, who, in only her second professional fight, beat Sylvia Sabatos to win the North American Boxing Federation middleweight belt back in March. Now, with Shields, who is now 4-0 with 2 KOs in her professional career, taking Adler's world title at 168, it now gives her 4 belts. She claimed the WBC silver super middleweight belt back in June. Shields said she wants to schedule 2 more fights before the end of this year. She's just unsure who or when those fights will take place. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to be a part of the show, you know that number. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, go to facebook.com/currentsports. We are currently live streaming the show. And tweet us at WKAR_sports and at Al Martin, WKAR. Here we go.
The speed and the movement or foot movement is too much. Their angles, their feints. I mean, you see Aldo cover up. That's a peekaboo.
Oh. Big left hand staggers her again. And this one is just about done.
Oh, referee's about to jump in.
One more is all it'll take.
Left hook, spin the punch. Left hook.
That's it. It's over. Well stopped. Clarissa Shields gets her championship and gets her knockout.
course, we are jamming on this Monday afternoon. Happy, happy Monday, fun day. I don't know if you can call Monday a fun day, right? I love Mondays, though. It is back to work, back to the grind. I love the grind. I love my job. So that's why I love Mondays, right? Back to it. Chance to talk with you all. And a brand new week ahead here on WKAR's Current Sports with endless possibilities. It is going to be a busy week, I must say. As you just heard, we will have Michigan State Football Media Day. It is the unofficial start of college football for us local media members today as it pertains to coverage of the Michigan State football team. Mark D'Antonio, he will speak at 2 p.m. And then the offense and defense will talk throughout the day. Looking forward to that. Again, keep it locked to Facebook.com/Current Sports as we will have coverage from MSU Football Media Day. Our very own Current Sports intern and reporter, Karina Garcia, will be taking off because, of course, we get off the air at 2 p.m. She will take off around 1:30 to make sure that we have Mark D'Antonio's press conference in its entirety. Looking forward to that. And again, at midnight, high school football kicked off officially. As today, August 7th, is the first day of high school football practice for many teams across the Michigan area. Oh, boy. Football right around the corner. Bittersweet, though, because that means that the summertime is coming to a close. Really hope you guys had a great weekend, though. Clarissa Shields certainly did. Before I go on my rant about Clarissa Shields, you just heard a bit of the call from MGM Grand as she defeated Nikki Adler for a championship. Two championships, I should say. Two belts on the line on Friday night at MGM Grand Casino. I'll pause my rant right now. First off, I want to invite to the show Isaac Constance, engineer of WKAR's Current Sports. Isaac, man, I just want to know, how was your weekend, dude?
I'm doing well, and, you know, it's great being back on the air just like you. I enjoy Mondays. I always miss the sports void during the weekend when you can't really sit down, discuss anything like that, because it's summer, too. Let's be real. It's baseball season. That's it. And right, the Detroit Tigers who are playing. So it's great being back. And not to sound too vainglorious, but I'm risking it by saying this. In this old studio, I'm enjoying the throwback. I feel like Earl and Jim.
Yeah, right. Exactly, dude. Definitely a throwback show today as we are in WKAR's AM studio. Every once in a while, we get a chance to broadcast out of these storied walls. And yes, this is the room. Those watching via Facebook.com/Current Sports, this is where Sports Talk with Earl Robinson broadcasted. This room right here for 39 years. I mean, Magic Johnson used to be a regular in this room if these walls could talk. I tell you, and some of the old equipment is still here, too, I feel like. very cool stuff. But yeah, I hope you guys had a great weekend. I know many of my good friends from college, a lot of them went to Canada. I don't know if a lot of you guys know this, but Carabana was over the weekend. My funds wasn't allowing me to go to Carabana this weekend. I just kind of chilled out. But the Toronto Caribbean Carnival, known as Carabana, home of Drizzy Drake, the famous rapper, took place over the weekend. I know a lot of folks that were out there living it up. There are a lot of droopy eyes due to Carabana, I must say, Isaac. Have you ever heard of it, dude? It's pretty off the chain, man.
I've heard of it, never been, always wanted to. What exactly is it? I don't even know.
It's a festival that celebrates. And I tell you what, though, because I'm a little biased here. You know my mother is from Trinidad and Tobago. So I'm a little biased because Trinidad and Tobago, I feel like, is the most authentic Carabana carnival you can go to. However, Toronto's, you know, the Toronto Caribbean Carnival is also pretty cool, too. But it's just a celebration of Caribbean heritage, you know, Caribbean heritage, you know. So like, you know, Brazil and Barbados and Trinidad, you see a lot of them just kind of celebrating that heritage, you know, and they have a big parade and people dress in elaborate costumes. Mostly the females do, but they dress in elaborate costumes. They're going up and down the street. Very, very cool stuff. A lot of celebrities were there over the weekend. So, yeah, I like I said, a lot of folks are coming into work on Monday a little bit drowsy due to that celebration over the weekend.
I got to wonder, though, why do they have it in Canada? That's a little ways away from the Caribbean and weather-wise, too, I imagine.
That's why I say it. Toronto's is not the authentic one.
Yeah.
The authentic one takes place in Trinidad and Tobago, yes, okay, man. For sure. But, hey, it's kind of like the bootleg Carabana, all right?
Exactly.
A lot
yeah.
of celebrities still go, though. I mean, Drake was there last year. Out of nowhere, you know what's so crazy? I don't know. Do you know who Oh, gosh. What's her name? You don't know who I'm talking about.
Cardi.
She's,
Karina just said Cardi or
Cardi
something like that.
B. Yeah. Oh, Karina said she was there. Oh, my goodness. Karina was there. Cardi B. I saw her everywhere in Carabana. Cardi B is like the big up-and-coming female rapper. I don't really like her music, but she's big now. But, yeah, she was also out there as well.
Yeah, our intern, Karina Garcia, is actually saying that she was at her party out in Toronto.
Ah, look at it. Karina, I tell you, she's so hip and happening. She's always everywhere, I tell you. She's going to be at I wouldn't be surprised if she was at Clarissa Shields' fight on Friday night, which leads me to our next topic. Clarissa Shields is just so... I mean, her charisma is going to take her very far in combination with her boxing skills. I mean, for those that watched that fight over the weekend, it was just complete dominance. Clarissa Shields defeating German Nikki Adler by TKO in the fifth round. The fight was stopped at the minute and 34 mark. And... you know, as I sat there, and actually I watched the highlights of it, and I caught it right on the tail end of it. And watching back, as they showed highlights from rounds 1 to 5, again, it was complete dominance. And you saw immediately, once the ref stopped the fight, Clarissa Shields just absolutely loses her mind, and she starts celebrating along with her trainer, Jason Crutchfield. Flint native, it's been so cool because we have profiled the journey of Clarissa Shields here at WKAR from the moment that she took off for that second stint, chasing her second gold medal out in Rio de Janeiro, which she did. Again, the only boxer, male or female, to win back-to-back gold medals in the sport of boxing. Very cool stuff. We were at the airport. We had an elaborate feature that was done in which we talked to Clarissa Shields' sister, her mother, and, of course, Clarissa herself, as fans and family and friends met her at the airport out in Flint Town. And just to really evaluate her career thus far, again, you look at the professional career of Shields right now, she's only, what, 4 fights in. She's 4-0, two of the four have been wins by KOs. And it's very rare to equate this to male boxing. You never see a male boxer get a shot at a title that early, in his career, you know, in the preliminary stages of his career, unless he's just a complete dominant beast. I mean, you will never see a male professional boxer get a title shot that early in his fight career. And Clarissa Shields, I think the fact that, again, she is the only boxer, male or female, gender aside, to win back-to-back gold medals, that's part of the reason why she was able to get a title shot that early. And the proof is in the pudding. I mean, watching that fight, again, this is Nikki Adler. This is who held the International Boxing Federation super middleweight titles. I mean, a pretty good fighter. And Clarissa Shields made it look like easy, slight work. And now, you know, the rumor mills are starting to really ramp up. And, you know, you look at who Clarissa Shields' next fight is going to be. I mean, there are a lot of names that are thrown out there. And there was actually one fighter who, by the name of Christina Hammer. Christina Hammer is 21-0, has 9 knockouts. She is the WBO and WBC middleweight champion. Christina Hammer was at the fight and actually watched the bout near the ring and came into the ring once it was announced that Clarissa Shields had won the fight, and again, by technical knockout. And they had this kind of banter back and forth, Hammer saying, you know, hey, she's not me. You know, if we fought, I would beat you. And then Clarissa Shields said, hey, we could fight right now. You know, I love the charisma of Clarissa Shields. But the question is, you know, when we have this discussion about Clarissa Shields and when we have the discussion of female fighting, boxing in particular, let's be real here. Clarissa Shields, if she keeps on the pace that she is right now, she is going to be, if she's not already, the face of women's boxing. Simple as that. She's got all of the intangibles that you want in a big money prize fighter, despite gender. Okay? She's got the mouthpiece. And mouthpiece, I mean, she's a great trash talker. She's incredibly confident. I love how she called herself the GWOAT, the greatest woman of all time. And again, you can't argue that in the sport of boxing, there's anyone better right now, unless you do bring up Christina Hammer because she's had more fights. But right now, looking at the career of Clarissa Shields, I mean, I love it because she's got the mouthpiece. When you talk about marketability in the sport of boxing, she's got the mouthpiece. She's got the skills. She's got that blue collar work ethic, which she talked about in the post fight. She said, you know what? I'm used to being the underdog, and I love having that underdog mentality because that is what's led me to the current success that I have. And Clarissa has always talked about getting female boxing to a point where it is competing financially with that of male boxing, which I must say right now with Mayweather and Conor McGregor aside, right now we all know the sport of male boxing has been in the dumps for quite some time. Male boxing needs a dominant heavyweight if it wants to get back to some form of relevance. With that being said, there is a window of opportunity for Clarissa Shields to come close to that goal of bringing in possible big pay-per-view numbers for female boxing. That's a long road, though, because a lot of things have to fall into place in order for her to make that goal an accomplishment, right? Because when it comes to Shields, this is the thing. If she wants to bring a certain supremacy to the sport of female boxing, she can't lose. She can't lose. Because the only way that the masses, that the casual sports fan tunes into female professional sports is if something really special is happening. That has been an observation that we have noticed throughout the years. Heck, the only reason that I tuned in after Michigan State women's basketball was eliminated from the NCAA women's basketball tournament, the only reason that I tuned in to that UConn and South Carolina game is because UConn had, what a streak, Isaac, of like, what, 100 straight wins, 100 straight victories for Gino Auriemma. It's got to be out of the ordinary for the casual sports fan to tune in to female professional sports. Heck, I even equate it to the flip side of boxing in the fight world, that being mixed martial arts. We all remember Ronda Rousey, right? Before Ronda Rousey had her stint of losing to, of course, Holly Holm, and how embarrassing that was. I mean, Ronda Rousey was unlike any fighter we'd ever seen. I mean, you know, knockouts within the first minute of fights. That's intriguing. That's out of the ordinary. These fights weren't even making it to the second round, let alone the second minute, once Ronda Rousey entered the octagon. And it intrigued us. And then you saw Ronda Rousey just absolutely blow up. Absolutely blow up. I mean, she was on movies. She was in commercials. She's doing interviews everywhere. She became a star that we all wanted to see in the ring because it was different. If you want to bring ratings and moolah to female professional sports, it's got to be unique. It's got to be original. It's got to be unique and dominant. And that's what Ronda Rousey was to the UFC fight world before losing to Holly Holm and then losing to Amanda Nunes. And then we haven't seen her fight since. I mean, that was December 30th of last year. That was Ronda Rousey's last fight. And now you talk about the interest of UFC now when it comes to female mixed martial arts. I haven't watched a fight. I'll tell you that. I must say this. I watched Cyborg fight. Two weeks ago. Because the only reason I watched Cyborg fight is because she was on the undercard for the Daniel Cormier and John Jones fight. But she wasn't headlining. It's got to be unique and different. UConn, women's basketball. I know cats that never watch women's basketball, period, let alone college women's basketball, that were tuning in to watch Gino Auriemma's Huskies. Now, that streak is snapped, but to be real with you, you know, their recruiting classes are so good each and every year, and Gino's such a good coach. He could build that reputation back. And if they win a national championship next year, that intrigue will start to build once again. But Clarissa Shields has to be freakishly dominant. There's a lot of pressure. Is it fair? No, it's not fair. It's not fair that the masses of sports fans out there, that the majority of sports fans out there do not like professional women's sports. But the only way you're going to get them to tune in is if you do something very special. Clarissa Shields is on the verge of that. She's got all of the potential in the world right now. I just hope that that very big and growing ego of hers does not affect her hard work within the gym, which she showed no signs that that will happen in the first place. But Clarissa Shields, the world is yours right now. Just keep on winning. Isaac, what do you think of Clarissa Shields and her impact on, again, her very young impact on the sport of female boxing thus far?
You said it. It's four fights in. So there's only so much judgment that we can actually pass to date. But with that being said, over 1,000 people in attendance. The fight was broadcasted on Showtime.
Exactly.
That's no small feat right there.
Only two headlines on premium television, and both of them have included Clarissa Shields.
Exactly. And Clarissa Shields, the thing is, there's the personality, there's the charisma. But when you watch her fight, too, a lot of people have this perception. And again, it's not fair, but this is how it is, that when women fight, it's going to be less hard hits, a little bit more sissy, an easier knockout possibly. And people just don't want to watch it in general. Clarissa Shields is indomitable in the ring. She puts her hands down. She will let you try to hit her, but she'll duck and weave. She'll bob. She will deflect every punch and go from her waist to her head to knock it away like that. But then the scary thing is once she gets on offense, because she's got gut shots. She's so powerful. I was trying to compile a scouting report in a way, and it's hard to, because what do you say? Oh, she's got good power, but could work on... No, she can't work on anything. Her speed might be her best trait, but she just packs so much power into each punch, and it's so well-timed and well-executed. She never gets the location wrong. If you provide protection for your head or you provide protection for your lower body, she'll hit wherever you are not. She's accurate, she's fast, and she knows this game as if she's been doing it 30 years. She's 22. Clarissa Shields has it all at her fingertips. Like you said, though, now it's a question of, it's still four fights. She is not the greatest women's fighter of all time already. Again, it's four fights. She is on that path, but what she needs to do is keep it up. Keep that determination, that flint grit, the trash talk, the ability to go after a five-round fight and jump up and hug Jason Crutchfield right after. She needs to keep that same level of energy, enthusiasm, all the while keeping it in check and making sure that she doesn't get too much into her own head.
Yeah, she's got to keep pace.
Exactly.
And the thing about, you know, Clarissa is, I mean, and it's the thing about boxing, you got to sell the fights.
Yeah.
The way you sell fights is with your mouth. And Clarissa has that cockiness that, you know, you're not going to beat me. I want to beat you. I don't just want to beat you. I want to destroy you. I'm calling around. I'm going to knock you out in this round. She has that type of personality. It's amazing how that is a hallmark in the fighting culture. I mean, heck, Conor McGregor right now. Conor has ideally talked his way into $100 million. That is the most fascinating part about this whole Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor fight. Conor McGregor, if he didn't have that mouthpiece, he wouldn't be cashing a $100 million check in this fight on August 26th against Floyd Money May and getting him out of retirement. I mean, it's amazing. So you got to have the charisma. You got to have that mouthpiece in order to sell fights. And Clarissa Shields certainly has it. I know we have a caller right now, actually on line one right now, Isaac. We have Dave from Wyoming that wants to chime in before we hit our first break. Dave, what's up, my man?
Well, we'll end it with Clarissa Shields because she I think needs to close on that. But you know, everybody's talking about Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather, and now we know why Floyd's fighting, because well, that extra check's going to take care of a lot of IRS issues. But
yeah, that's true.
I've been watching. I'm old. I've been watching Floyd Mayweather since he was a 15-year-old kid fighting Grand Rapids Golden Gloves. I remember his father getting beat by Sugar Ray Leonard, and that was a close fight. But Conor McGregor can't kick, as Isaac has mentioned, and in this fight. And also, Conor McGregor has never faced anybody with a hand speed that Floyd Mayweather has at 40.
Right.
And somebody who can feint and move, and he can try to throw a haymaker. But gosh darn, I've watched Floyd fight guys like Ricky Hatton, who was a knockout artist.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And he knocked Ricky Hatton out. So I just, you know, I think it's brilliant marketing by both of them. A guy who's a fighter who's on the way down, and another fighter who's been in a UFC situation where it's controlled by one guy. And, you know, he'd never make the payday Floyd Mayweather has made over the years with fighting with the UFC, but he can do it with this because he brought boxing into it. Secondly, about Floyd Mayweather, I think at Saturday night I finally saw one guy that Mayweather probably is glad he's 40, and that's Levchenko.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, exactly.
That's probably the best boxer I've seen since Mayweather. He's got flash. He's got style. He hits for power. He hits with both hands. And he beat that guy at TKO, and he just beat his body unmercifully.
Right.
And was toying with him part of the way, too.
Well, that's what I've always said, Dave, when it comes to Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather has been so smart when it comes to picking his fights. Right? I mean, Floyd, again, he's had a great career. Don't get me wrong. But there are a few times in his career, especially some of the big names like a De La Hoya, like a Sugar Shane Mosley, where initially De La Hoya and both Mosley as well, when it's a fight, Floyd, when they were both closer to their primes, Floyd waited. You know, he said, hey, the money isn't right. And he kind of waited a few years and waited till they got older. And he had a clear advantage when he fought them in the ring. So even though, again, Floyd, he'll go down as the greatest defensive fighter of all time, but I do believe that there are some points in his career where he did run away from certain fighters and, again, very smartly waited a few years until those fighters got older.
Yeah, well, Sugar Ray Leonard did the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Sugar Ray Leonard didn't want any part of Floyd, of Hearn. I mean, of Hearn or Marvin Hagler until that.
Right.
And that sort of ties into my last thing about Shields. She's only had four fights. I watched that fight.
Mm-hmm.
She hit as hard as I've seen guys in state finals, golden gloves, in undercards of prize fights that I've attended. And she fights like she's been trained to box since she's been about 10, 12 years old.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She's got leverage on her body punches. She knows how to duck. She knows how to move in and out. She's just, technically, she's a superior boxer. Where Nikki Adler and some of these other fighters that they have just haven't had the training that she's had.
Mm-hmm.
I think at some point in time, maybe somebody are going to catch up, but she has got such a head start technically on so many of the fighters and knows how to hit the body. And for Adler to come right back out and say, I fought Hanner. She's, you know, Hammer's not going to last in there with her.
Yeah.
I think that biggest issue Clarissa Shields is going to have is the same problem Marvin Hagler had. Nobody wanted to fight him when he was in his prime.
Because that's true.
You know,
yeah.
He couldn't get a fight. And I think that that's going to be probably the most frustrating thing for Clarissa Shields is she won two Olympic medals, okay? We haven't seen Wheaties or General Foods or Nike or anybody else jumping on board with Clarissa Shields the way we have with some other people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that has to do with sometimes her unbridled enthusiasm and what she says, and part of it is that she is what she is. And I just don't think that, unfortunately, that's the market. That and also boxing is just not that popular right now, so that's hurt her. She's not getting the paydays of the out of the ring stuff.
Yeah, very true.
Has.
Right.
But I do think the biggest thing is she's so darn good.
Right.
That
right.
Nobody is going to want to fight her, and I also think her best fights are going to be if she fights in London, if she fights in Berlin, if she fights overseas.
She's got to go international.
Here in the United States. Gosh darn, you know, she's going to, you have her fight in Vegas, unless it's on the undercard of a massive fight. I just don't think, I don't think it's going to go. I mean, and I go back to Levchenko as well. Where was he fighting? He was fighting in L.A. He wasn't fighting in Vegas.
Right, and Dave, we're short on time, but yeah, those are all great points.
So, hey, you have a great show.
Thank you, Dave. And those are all great points. And, again, you will run into that problem, I think, with Clarissa Shields because, again, other than Christina Hammer, who's undefeated, has nine knockouts throughout 21 fights, I mean, who else is out there? And I do believe, and that's something I didn't think about, I do believe that's going to be a problem. That could be a problem in the career of Clarissa Shields. Who is going to be out there to challenge her, and where is she going to get the fights from? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Jeff Kimmerly, editor of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. It's the second half. That and more. Don't go anywhere.
Top priority for the Nigerian government.
If we cannot take care of them today, they will be the great monsters that are going to consume everybody.
A story of survival, plus the latest on Secretary of State Rex Tillerson's tour of Southeast Asia, tomorrow on Morning Edition.
Morning Edition, tomorrow morning between 5 and 9 on 90.5 WKAR.
10, 9, 8.
From poets to politicians, artists to astronauts, join me on a journey to places, people, and events that shaped our world today.
Godspeed, John Glenn.
Hello, everyone. This is Mike Worf, inviting you to hear the visual sounds of Kaleidoscope, Saturdays at 4 p.m. on WKAR AM 870.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Let's get right to our guest for today's show. His name is Jeff Kimmerly, editor of the Michigan High School Athletic Association's The Second Half. He is doing some outstanding work with the MHSAA. I got a chance to meet him during the Gus Macker Celebrity Basketball game in which we played in that event together. And I said, I got to have him on the show, especially now that high school football, the start of high school football is right around the corner. At midnight last night, I saw on my Twitter that many high school football programs from mid-Michigan were, again, allowed to finally hit the gridiron and finally get practice under the way. We'll definitely chat high school football with him in just a moment. But first off, Jeff, welcome to the show. How you doing, my man?
I'm well. How are you doing? Great to be on with you.
Definitely, without a doubt. And first off, Jeff, again, this is your first time on the airwaves with us. Can you tell us about your journey to the Michigan High School Athletic Association? And I know that you were previously at the Lansing State Journal, right?
Yeah, I was the prep sports editor at the State Journal from basically New Year's Day 2000 until the last week of September 2011. And then I came to the MHSAA. They wanted to do some things where they were adding their own media arm so that we can make sure we were still telling the stories of high school sports, especially because in a lot of markets, high school coverage has gone down, especially in metro areas in our state, just with the way the media has been pinched financially and things like that. So I came here and we started our kind of fan side of things, and we are trying to tell people all about the cool and inspirational things going on in high school sports.
Without a doubt. And Jeff, you mentioned how the high school coverage, especially in metro areas, that coverage has taken a hit. Why is that, Jeff?
You know, I think in part it's because there are so many options, not only for fans' time, but also for media resources in some of these markets. So, you know, even in a market as medium-sized as the Lansing market, you have Michigan State, which dominates coverage a lot of times. You have the Lugnuts during the summer, things like that. And you have high schools, which have a pretty big role in our community. But you go to Detroit, you've got four pro franchises, you know, in addition to the fact that they cover both Big Ten teams regularly. You know, some of the other communities in our Lower Peninsula especially cover the MAC schools a lot, or even they'll cover their GLIAC schools a lot. Now, that said, a lot of media, you know, newspaper, TV, website, radio, what have you, still do a great, great job of covering high school sports. But, you know, high school sports is kind of, it's not always built for the online world, because you might do something that's of a lot of interest to one community, and maybe it's not the clickbait kind of story that a bunch of different communities are going to pick up on. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that doesn't have the attraction of something about Michigan State or the Lions or whatever. But at the same time, there are some stories, there are a lot of stories out there in high school athletics that even if you don't know the person or know the program or know the community, it's going to be of a general interest, and we tell those stories, and I've tried to tell those stories, you know, going back to my days at the State Journal, because there's something out there a lot of us can relate to, and that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, that is so true. And, you know, the point about, you know, like a market like Detroit, Michigan, I mean, they have four major sports teams as well as covering, you know, Michigan State, Michigan. I mean, you know, when I grew up, you know, watching the five and 11 o'clock news down there, I mean, sure, very rarely you would see a highlight package done on what's happening that day in high school sports. So the landscape is certainly different. Now, when it comes to the second half, when did that begin, and what kind of stories do you all produce? I know you briefly touched upon that already.
We started second half, I think it was in January 2012. I'd been here about 4 or 5 months, and that's really the fan arm of our MHSA.com website family. We've got MHSA.com, which is great stuff for administrators, great stuff for parents, like health and safety and eligibility rules and things like that. And it's also, you know, it's the home for all of our scores and schedules. We try to follow all of our football and basketball teams in the state, boys and girls, you know, game by game. And so all that stuff's on MHSA.com. Second half is where we house kind of our fan interest stuff. We have, for example, we have state rankings for all the sports that our coaches' associations put out, and then we put out some stuff for football and basketball kind of on our own there. We have correspondents, I guess we like to call them, that are statewide. We've split the state into 8 regions, and we have features 4 times a week. So each one of our correspondents writes twice a month. And these aren't just, you know, some people that kind of, you know, rolled out of bed one morning and decided to start writing. I think our correspondent crew has something like 320 years of combined experience covering high school sports.
Oh,
a lot
my
of
goodness.
It,
wow.
A lot of them are veterans from, you know, years and years and years of doing it, like Tom Markowski from Detroit News, who you'd be familiar with. And mm-hmm. I do the Lansing stuff and just great people that are doing that stuff. So we try and tell a lot of these great stories from all over the state. And then we also, you know, we do a lot of getting out the news from the association that might interest some people, and we cover all of our finals. So one of the things that doesn't happen as much in the media with so much to get to now is a lot of our sports outside of maybe football, basketball, volleyball, or, you know, some of the major ones just don't get a lot of coverage. And we cover everything. We cover all of our championship events. So we are trying to, you know, still tell the stories of all those kids, all those high school athletes that are out there just, you know, doing amazing things. And it's received well. The thing is we've been around for, you know, going on 5 years, and a lot of people still don't know that it's there. And so we're just, you know, trying to constantly get the word out. Secondhalf.mhsa.com. If you're a high school fan, you'll want to check it out and kind of stick with us.
Yeah, please give it a look, folks. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Jeff Kimmerly of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. And now, Jeff, you know, I see on the front page right now, if our listeners were to go to the website, the second half, and check out what kind of content you all have on there, I see on the front page there is a story on a topic that we have covered extensively throughout my time here at WKAR. I see there that there's a story on the MHSAA's 2016-17 concussion data. How many sports does this research cover, and how did you all go about compiling this information?
Well, for the second year, this is the second year we've done this, and we first obviously began requiring all of our schools a year ago to report any head injury sustained by any athlete at the high school level. We have middle schools that are members of our association too, and they're, you know, able to also report theirs, but it's required at the high school level. And basically what we're trying to do is track, and we're going across all of our sports. We're trying to track where our head injuries are taking place. Is it at Is it all in one sport? Which obviously that's not the case. But how much is it in each sport? Is it at the varsity or JV or freshman level? Is it in game or competition? Is it player to player impact, or is it, you know, some kind of other drill where these things are happening? We're trying to just collect as much information as possible on every head injury that happens in high school in this state in terms of athletics, and really whittle down the details to find out where the trends are and things of that nature. Now, we only have 2 years of data, obviously, so to say we found trends at this point isn't really, you know, it's not logical. We've seen some things begin to emerge, especially as schools, you know, now in the second year understand more how to report and how to follow through on reports and things of that nature. But, you know, we're hoping with another year, 2-3 years, we can really identify some trends. And this is going to really guide us toward, you know, continuing the work that we've already done substantially and trying to improve player safety and things of that nature.
Yeah, very true. And for you, Jeff, when looking at this data, I mean, were there any details from the report that really shocked you and have shocked you throughout the 2 years you've all done this?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, and there are a couple things that definitely stick out. You know, again, with 2 years of data, you can't say, oh, you know, something this year is different than last year, and that definitely identifies a trend. That's not really an accurate presentation of the data per se, but mm-hmm. the fact that we had 11% fewer reports come in this past year, if not a trend, it's at least a positive sign. You know, we obviously want to see zero reports come in, but 11% decrease is certainly a good thing to hope to see continue. One of the interesting things I would say is you look at where the sports where we have the most head injuries come in football and hockey are our top two, and I think that wouldn't shock anybody. Those are our two high contact, high collision sports, highest at least.
Right.
But then the next four sports after that are all girls sports, girls soccer, girls basketball, competitive cheer. I think, I can't remember what the number six on the list is off the top of my head, but I know all the next four are definitely girls sports. So it's interesting there. You know, this isn't just something that guys go through. We have a lot of girls that have head injuries occur as well. And another interesting thing from that we've noticed the last couple of years is the fact that when you have sports that have similar rules, girls and boys basketball, baseball, softball, girls and boys soccer, the girls are reporting, you know, 2 and 3 times as many head injuries in those sports as the boys are. Now, that makes us start asking questions. And actually, the Michigan State Institute for the Study of Youth Sports put out a paper last year looking at this issue. It makes you ask the question, you know, are there really more head injuries happening to girls? Are girls just more likely to report those injuries, more comfortable reporting those injuries? Are boys, you know, more likely to hide those injuries? So
yeah, there's more to it, right?
There's a lot more to it, and that's what this is allowing us to do. It's allowing us to really dig in and look through this data and, you know, at the same time, hopefully dispel some myths out there too. So.
Yeah, for sure. Jeff, we're short on time, but before I get you out of here, I want you to again let our listeners know how they can read the second half and even possibly pitch a story idea if they have
Absolutely.
One to you all. And also, I mean, how exciting is it just to have football back? I saw many high schools via Twitter celebrating, you know, high school football, midnight madness. I you got to love this time of the year, right?
No, I do. And, you know, as somebody who played that sport in high school, it's, you know, it's something that you never forget. What that was like. I hope I never lose that memory.
Right.
It's kind of the beauty of what I do for a living is being able to kind of relive that with another group of people. You know, obviously not coaching or anything like that, but just kind of watching from the side another group of kids every year. To check out what we do, there's two ways. The easiest is probably go to MHSA.com. Right in the middle of the page, it says second half latest posts. Just click on anything there. It'll take you to the site. The actual URL for our site is secondhalf.mhsaa.com. There's a place on there to submit an idea. We love to hear about story ideas. We try to get to as many of them as we can. And we're going to have some first day football stuff hopefully tonight. If I can get it all taken care of, I'm going to head out to Perry here this afternoon. You know, one of the few football schools that we have that has not made the playoffs. but they came literally within a point of making it last year. And so we're going to go out and talk to the Perry people and see kind of what their level of there's got to be some added enthusiasm, let's say, coming into this year, knowing that they've gotten so close. So that's just kind of the fun stuff that we do. And we're always looking for new ideas on what to do and more ways to get people, you know, involved in following high school sports. And we try and hit on as many schools as we can. So we'd love to hear from people. We'd love to have people check it out.
Jeff Kimmerly, editor of MHSAA's The Second Half. Jeff, thank you so much for your time. Keep up the great work out there, all right?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, and let me know if I can ever help you with anything else.
You got it, Jeff. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow in today's current sports. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, this is Jody Knoll. The Michigan classical music scene is a diverse and vibrant one, and it comes to you twice a week on WKAR's Community Concerts. Join me on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 2 for some of the best orchestral, chamber, and choral concerts recorded live all around mid-Michigan. Community Concerts, here on WKAR 90.5 Classical.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I know I see a lot of your guys commenting. A lot of you guys commenting on the Facebook live feed again. We're in the AM studio. We'll be back at it in the new studio, Studio S, tomorrow. Our original studio tomorrow. And again, we'll have the podcast version of today's episode up via WKAR.org later on this afternoon. Also, we're going to jet out right now to Spartan Stadium. MSU Football Media Day. Mark D'Antonio speaks in about 2 minutes, all right? So keep it locked to Facebook.com/currentsports. Thanks to Jeff Kimmerly for joining us today. See you tomorrow, folks. And as always, be easy, people.